I want to explore three ways. One is the presence of God meant salvation. Meant salvation to them. And not in the sense that we view now. The Jews viewed the salvation of God. If you read the Old Testament, you can read anywhere in the prophets. You can read in the Judges. You can read in 1 and 2 Samuel, the Kings, or even David in the Psalms. A Hebrew understanding of the salvation of God in the Old Testament means God's saving power in the here and the now. He is my ever-present help in times of trouble. David said in the Psalms, Lord, have you abandoned me, or will you now come and rescue me from my enemies? Story after story of the Israelites in the Old Testament talk about calling upon the name of the Lord who is mighty to save, and almost always it is in the context of war. The Israelites were being embattled or being raided upon, and they called upon the name of the Lord who would bring salvation from their enemies. I want to read through a few scriptures on the salvation of God. Psalm 68, verse 19. Psalm 68, 20. Let's go there. 19. I like 19. Let's go 19. Praise the Lord. Praise God our Savior, for each day He carries us in His arms. Our God is a God who saves. The Sovereign Lord rescues us from death. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Zephaniah 3:17. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With His love, He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Or as another version puts it, the presence of our God, or the presence of God, is with you, and He is mighty to save. The presence of God is with you, and He is mighty to save, and He rejoices over you with singing. Or how about Mark chapter 4? Story of Jesus and the disciples on the boat, and the storm comes upon them, and they are near death. And they cry out, Lord, do you not care that we are about to die? And Jesus stands up and commands the storm, and He commands the wind, peace, be still. The presence of God was salvation, but it was also power. 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Saul has just been anointed king in verse 10. 1 Samuel 10, verse 10, he's anointed king. And Samuel comes up and pours the oil on Saul's head and says, I have done this because the Lord God has anointed you to be king over Israel, His precious possession. And then Samuel says this to Saul, you will leave from here and you will go and you will find marching down this road a band of prophets. And they will be playing the flute and the harp and the lyre, and you will come upon them, and the Spirit of God will come upon you with power. And the Spirit of God, the presence of God, will come upon you with power. There's another story in 1 Samuel chapter 19, and it deals with Saul. Saul is now hunting David. David is on the run. He's hiding with Samuel in Naroth. And Saul finds out, he comes after David himself, and he walks into this place, and in this place is Samuel and a group of prophets, and they're prophesying, and it says the Spirit of God came upon Saul with such power that he actually started prophesying. And he stayed with them for days. He took off all his clothes and prophesied in front of Samuel and the other prophets, so much so that the people of Israel stood back and said, wow, is Saul also amongst the prophets? Or take the Israelites at the beginning, 1 Samuel chapter 4, when the Ark of the Covenant came into the camp, the Philistines were so afraid of seeing the Ark of the Covenant come into the camp of the Israelites that they said, "Let us flee. Woe to us, lest we become like the Egyptians, for the power of the Hebrew God has come into the camp." When the Israelites took the Ark of the Covenant and crossed the Jordan River and they attacked Jericho, what led them? The Ark of the Covenant and the worshipers. And they marched around Jericho for 7 days and seven times on the seventh day. And by the presence of God, with the presence of God, there was power and the walls of Jericho fell. The presence of God meant power. The presence of God also meant life. The Israelites knew that when they were following the law of God and the presence of God dwelt in the ark and dwelt in the temple, there was peace in the land. And God blessed the land. And He blessed His people. And it says the land flowed with milk and honey. And the vines grew fruit. And the soil was rich. And the Lord sent rains upon the land. And there was life both in the ground and in His people. For the Lord's presence brought life. But God's presence still only dwelt in the temple and the ark or resting upon certain people. And then Joel spoke and said, "There will come a day when the Spirit of God will come upon all flesh." Christmas, we don't celebrate Christmas in this church like a lot of the traditional churches do. My renters in my basement suite of my house, they attend a more traditional Baptist church. And so every year at Christmas time, they go through the full Advent season. Their entire preaching church life is centered around this. And I was having a conversation with him. And he made a very good point. The Israelites were dispersed when they rebelled against God and they went into captivity. And then it is something that's called the diaspora. They were dispersed amongst many nations. And in the height of that trouble, they had no Jerusalem. They had no temple. They had no ark, and they had no presence of God at all. God did not speak for hundreds of years to them. And then they are looking forward to this Messiah, and he made this good point, my friend. He said, "You know what? Christmas, Advent, in, at its core is this, that as Christians we sit back and we remember leading up to Christmas, that we were no different than the Israelites. That we were like the Israelites, separated from God. As far away from the presence of God as possible. And yet we are looking forward to that day. Looking forward to the Christmas when our Savior has come. And so we remember. We remember the presence of God come to us." And so in the New Testament, we sit back. And now as Christians, we all understand that the presence of God lives in us. Romans says that if we are confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Christ was raised from the dead, if we are baptized, then we receive the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in us. Salvation for us. Acts 2:8 says, "But when you receive the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power. And you will be my witnesses." Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life." In John 15:5, he said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. You abide in me, because without me you have nothing." because I am the life. And so we find ourselves also realizing that the presence of God in our lives both means salvation and power and life. Maybe I'll get the band to come up. I want to close with a couple of verses, a couple of thoughts. I find that as Christians, maybe it's just me, and maybe I'll just be condemn myself and judge myself on this. I lose perspective. I think I sometimes forget that the presence of God lives in me. That this salvation, this power, this life that was so envied by the Jews, the Israelites who saw it from a distance and yet did not have it. Except for those special few. And yet here we stand as Christians having the presence of God on us and in us, living inside of us. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, when Samuel anoints Saul, he says this. He says, "The Spirit of God will come upon you with power, and your life will be forever changed." He spoke to Saul and said, "The Spirit of God will come upon you, and your life will be forever changed." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says that if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. You are new. Jesus said, you cannot come into the presence or into the kingdom of God unless you are born again. You are new. Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 12. He said, be transformed by the presence of God. Because when the presence and the Spirit of God, the presence of God comes upon us, we are forever changed. Christmas. The presence of God that brings salvation and power and life. Something that was so looked to by the Old Testament, something that we have. And then Isaiah said this in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 4. And you will know that the Savior has come upon you, has come amongst you, because his name will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. His presence with us. And so I encourage every one of you as you approach Christmas in the next 8 days to take a little perspective. To remind yourself of where you once stood and who you once were before the presence of God came upon you and changed you forever. And who he has transformed you to now be. And that the presence of God who lives inside of you brings power and life. And that is our message to the world. As we remind ourselves of Christmas coming. How great it was that God sent himself to dwell among us. That his presence could be with us. Let's stand this morning.